Booker T. Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the million-dollar man.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect? And damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Peter Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kemp.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Chrissy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the NBC.
It's still real to be damn it.
With your host.
This is not a door to watch.
Jim Stein.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
Bug.
I'm kind of kinky, and I like that.
Maze.
Hey, I just hit stand.
Will.
You can't see me.
Tonight's special guest. Alan Wojcik.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to. Even though I don't know what Twitter is and have no desire to find out.
Kenny Omega.
Clean out the
hall! Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where we just got done watching the speed bump on the road to WrestleMania known as the Elimination Chamber. And tonight we are covering the results and opinions of the show, as well as a few surprises along the way. As always, this is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, leading the way. And with me tonight, there is Mace.
I want to hear it once again, those three little words that make me so goddamn happy at the moment. Mace was right.
It yourself, man. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, it's not like you're going to fucking say it, you old fucking prick.
Ooh. Goddamn straight, mate.
We also have Spug.
Oh, that was actually a really good pay-per-view.
Ow.
It was. I was happy with it. It's a speed bump, but it wasn't bad.
It was a speed bump, but no car wreck.
Also, the guy screwing with his mic still, Alan Wojcik.
Yes, mega, mega speed bump. I was this close to reviewing the WWE champion.
Damn!
Maybe next time.
Hey, I think of 6 weeks to Mania, he may get it.
And, of course, leading the way, as always, Mr. Tim Stein.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, everybody, good evening. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, Russ Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk. The new what? The new and improved. And as you can see, it's lighter and fewer calories. Wild Talk Radio Network Rock, good job retooling the website. Guys, what do you think of the new look?
It'll be changed in a month.
Well, he'll get bored in 3 weeks. What do you expect?
Can't we just stay with one website, please?
Well, it's, you know, give him something to do. I mean, he gets bored. He can only deal with morons for so many hours in a day. He's got to find something to fill the other three.
Doesn't he have enough on this website to do? I mean, he only does just about everything. It's not like the creator of this website really does anything around here.
Trust me, the creator of this website is engaged in doing more than people know at the moment. We'll talk about that when things come to fruition. But yeah, as you said in the opener, Spud, entertaining pay-per-view. I can't really say I was overly disappointed. One thing that WWE gets right nine times out of ten, as opposed to TNA, is the booking. They don't go for the convolution. They usually keep it pretty straightforward. Tonight, we saw that in play compared to the last TNA pay-per-view.
Wait, hold on. Did you just compliment TNA's booking?
No, and it's obvious you don't understand what convoluted is.
No, I know exactly what convoluted means, you arrogant fucking prick. But you word it in such a way that it's confusing what you said. So why don't you spell it out in black and white so people can understand what the fuck you're saying?
I said WWE's booking is less convoluted than TNA's.
Thank you. That's all you had to say the first time.
I did say that the first time.
No, you didn't.
Alan, back me up. Blow your nose and back me up. Waiting for Alan to unmute so he can do that. So, thanks, Alan.
You need backup? Come on. You've been doing this for how long, and you need me to back you up?
Did I not say what Spug accused me of not saying? Was that too convoluted for you?
You're asking the guy who's just getting off cold medication, man. Get out of here. Don't be bringing
wait a
up
minute.
This isn't Scrabble with the triple word score, man. English. Do you speak it, you Canadian? Use it.
Ha! Oh. Holy cow. All right, you know what?
I think Alan suddenly got in the spirit of this show.
More pissed because Alan just watched a three-hour pay-per-view that was horrible.
Oh, it was not that bad.
I think that you might be in the minority this time around.
I know I'm in the minority. I'm always in the minority. I'm the minority of the minority, but this is your show, so I'll shut up.
Wait,
you know what?
You're
entitled to your own opinion. Whoa, what's up, Spug?
Hold on. Why was this pay-per-view horrible, Alan?
Because everyone that I don't want to watch at WrestleMania 1, dude, that's why.
Oh, wait, hold it.
Hold on.
So, it was a shitty pay-per-view because people you don't like win? You internet mark you.
Let me, hold on.
I know, like I said, I'm the minority of the minority.
Okay, so, yes, I want to make a little comparison here. Yesterday, I took the kid and the wife and our in-laws, we went and saw the monster trucks up at the up at the queue, okay?
Friday!
It was actually Saturday. But
Saturday, yeah, but still.
The big names that they had booked were Tasmanian Devil, Gravedigger,
awesome.
And a real old school throwback in Excalibur.
You're kidding, they had Excalibur?
The original Excalibur truck was there, too.
Don't you have those in Lego form?
I have Gravedigger and Tasmanian Devil. I do not have Excalibur.
Damn, the latent redneck in me is about to burst out. They had the original Excalibur.
They did. It was actually really cool because I remember seeing it when I was little. But I digress. So they have three events. Freestyle, where they just destroy shit. Racing, where they put the two trucks up against one another. And then they had the wheelie competition. Now, your two big names got really high scores in all three, but the biggest name that they booked in Gravedigger, they had eight trucks, they had three big names, and then five little ones and a few guys that were from the area in Ohio, okay? The biggest name, the one that people plunked the money down to see in Gravedigger, won everything. It's the same thing with the WWE. WWE does not trust that John Morrison versus The Miz at WrestleMania, their biggest pay-per-view of the year, which is designed to bring in casual viewers of the product. Not hardcore fans like us or people that listen to our show, but casual viewers of the product who may occasionally watch on Monday night and know a few of the names enough to sound smart in a conversation, but after that, they're fucking retards.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Let me just ask you really quickly before you continue, because this actually goes to your point. They don't have enough faith in Morrison versus Miz. Is it because they figure that people wouldn't glom onto Morrison, or do they figure that Miz needs a stable, established name to main event against?
It's not that the Miz needs a stable, established name. It's that ticket sales need a stable, established name. Okay? When I plunked my money down to go to Monster Trucks yesterday, I would have gone anyway because they're Monster Trucks and I enjoy the hell out of them.
I went
because Gravedigger was there.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen Gravedigger in years. And I guarantee you that 17,000 people who were in that arena, of three quarters of them, came because Gravedigger was there. The people who were going to buy WrestleMania on pay-per-view, who were going to go to WrestleMania if they can afford to, are going to go because they know the name of John Cena.
Okay, well,
I hear you. Three quarters of them are going to plunk down the money on that ticket because they know the name religiously in John Cena.
Okay. You know, you've got a very salient, very valid point. Now, what if it was John Cena who had the title and we have the Elimination Chamber? The Miz takes Cena's place because Cena's got the title. Would you put the vote of confidence on to Miz to be the number one contender then?
Obviously, WWE is at that point, but are you saying that it's still a number one contender? The title's not up in the Elimination Chamber as it wasn't tonight.
Not in the Raw.
Right.
The Raw Elimination Chamber was to find
right.
out who faces
was
the champion at Mania.
Right. So you're saying if it was Cena who was already the champion, and
then
Miz, it's still the same thing.
Who wins? Would you give Miz the nod because Cena's the champion?
Well, obviously they're trying to push Miz and make him into their next main event star. And look,
right.
John Morrison, I would love to see John Morrison get a world title shot, but I want to see him get it at Judgment Day, Great American Bash, Bad Blow, something like that.
Okay.
Where it is a lower end pay-per-view and he can build up.
Well, before we take a complete look at the pay-per-view here and go run through the numbers, why don't we get everybody else's opinion on this one? Start with you, Mace.
Well, if Cena was the champion, I don't know, maybe we'd see the Miz. I'd probably go more for Sam Punk because he's more established. And, you know, if we're still going off the same storylines, they're in progress at the moment.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I'd agree with Spug when it comes down to Morrison.
Okay.
I'd rather see him on a lower end pay per view, preferably one that still exists.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is my mind. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It just goes to show those older pay per views that no longer exist had names that were memorable. These days, we can't remember what the hell the lower pay per views are.
Dude, I still call them Elimination Chamber No Way Out. I still do.
Yeah, because that's what we used to. But. Still,
go back to calling them all In Your House. I miss those days.
In Your House and Over the Edge.
Yeah, you remember last time they did that? Something really bad happened.
But anyway,
back on topic. Morrison, I'd like to see on one of the lower end pay per views in a title match and build him up to one of the main events. Probably, if anything, you go with SummerSlam or maybe whatever the hell they're going to call Survivor Series.
Okay. Omega.
I do agree begrudgingly with Spug. At WrestleMania, it is all about how many buys you can get. And take a look on the SmackDown side of things. You've got Alberto Del Rio, who had... You want to talk unproven draw. That's Alberto Del Rio.
Dude, he does not have, and I'm using air quotes, it. I don't care what anybody says or how desperately Vince is horny to push.
He doesn't have, and I use air quotes, anything. There isn't a damn thing about the guy that makes him stand out. He's just, he's Mexican JBL.
He has talent. He has one thing that Vince wants, and it's something that Ray has, and that Ray's going to be gone soon, and that's a connection to Mexico.
Yeah. He wants that Hispanic viewership.
That's the only reason is because he can get the Mexicans to watch.
Yep.
Which,
but they're not doing it with someone who makes Mexicans look like assholes, though.
Well, they could have done it with a different Mexican or, if you like, you know, even Latino superstar. That, you know, like somebody who could actually look good in the ring.
Let's bring back the Mexicools.
You know,
Mexico.
I will say this, because it is quite an honor in Mexico to, you know, have to take your father or your uncle's name or anything like that. I mean, look at Rey Mysterio Jr.
Yeah.
He could have gotten permission to wrestle as Mil Muñoz from his uncle. And if he could have... You want to talk about Latin viewership? Think about Mil Muñoz. It doesn't matter if he's the second, but Mil Muñoz as WWE champion. All of Mexico would tune in.
My God, I just had the thought of Mil Muñoz Jr. versus El Santo version 2.0.
I'm sorry, but my head is full of thoughts. Continue.
There you go.
I am the internet wrestling fan, so Miz and Morrison with the history behind it and how well, what a damn good match those two had already. Yeah, I want to see it elevated on a pay-per-view scale, but I have to admit, Spug is right. It is about ticket sales, and people are going to watch WrestleMania if their favorite guy is in the main event, and as much as we don't like it, that is still Cena.
Wait. Omega. Say that one more
time. Not again.
One more time?
Not again.
No.
Again.
A little bit back.
Something
about was someone was right. One more time?
Tim was
right.
No.
He's here. Thanks, Omega. You just got yourself a promotion. Anyway.
you happy is doing it to piss him off.
Oh, well, hey, you know, like, incidental, it still fucking works, man. Anyway, why don't we hear from the six-pack-a-day smoker, Alan?
I'm going to disagree with him, and I'm not doing it to do it, just because WrestleMania sells itself. When you go to Walt Disney World as a patron, you're not going because, oh, I can go see the Atlanta Braves in the spring training. You're going because it's frickin' Walt Disney World. WCW sold this building out that they're going to, the Georgia Dome, in the 90s, because it was WCW. They didn't even announce that Bill Goldberg and Hulk Hogan were going to wrestle each other until like 48 hours prior to it, and the building was already sold out. So
yeah.
I don't understand. I get a little bit of what he's saying, that, you know, you're going to go with the old reliable, and he's probably going to choke me right now, because this isn't something new, because Triple H was in this situation a few years ago where they could have elevated people up, but Triple H used his political prowess to go, no, without me, you can't have this pay-per-view. And Shawn Michaels did it, too, at WrestleMania 20.
Alan, if you're going to accuse Triple H of holding people down, you have to use the word alleged, because it has never been proven beyond the internet that really happened. Come on.
And I will say
Randy
this.
Randy Savage never slept with Stephanie McMahon, but I can't prove that either.
I will say this. WCW sold out the Georgia Dome in Atlanta in the 90s, at the height of wrestling's popularity. Not just WCW, but at the height of wrestling's popularity. It is not far-fetched for them to sell out that arena at that time period.
You're talking about a time period that was drawing eights and nines on the Nielsen scale.
And it was the boon for wrestling. It was the popular time. I mean, you can't make the comparison to Disney World, because wrestling at the same time, you knew what you were getting going in. You knew you were going to get a good show. So, you know, you pay out no matter what it's going to be. Now, it's inconsistent.
I'm going to go with your Walt Disney comparison, your Walt Disney World comparison to WrestleMania. Sure, Disney World and WrestleMania sell themselves to a point, but everybody knows the star attractions that are there. Everybody knows the Matterhorn. Everybody knows Epcot Center. Everybody knows the 13 Floors of Terror. Everybody knows those things who goes there because they want to see the big things that are there. The little things are ancillary and fun. But when you get to WrestleMania and you say, all right, I'm going to plunk down my $60 on this pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Who's the main event? John Morrison and The Miz. I saw him at the beginning of January. It was a really good match, but I don't know who else is on the card. Daniel Bryan versus Drew McIntyre.
Well, what about...
Hold on. If you start using names that fans want to see on your biggest card of the year, it is going to turn out to be one of your shittiest. And I will use this. WrestleMania 13, Sid Vicious versus The Undertaker. And it was supposed to be where Bret Hart got his title back, was at WrestleMania 13. One of the lowest selling WrestleManias ever. Ever. You look at this, you look at WrestleMania. It has become an institution in wrestling pay-per-views. The name, yes, sells itself to a point, but you have to have star attractions on the card to get those casual fringe fans to buy.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring this up really quickly, then we're going to go in-depth after we finish looking at the pay-per-view. But last Monday night, the most electrifying man in all of entertainment came back, and he basically called out everybody's go-to boy for Mania, John Cena. Don't you think that putting those two against each other at WrestleMania, even if it was just like a verbal sparring, would not draw a bigger crowd?
We brought that up Tuesday night. Spug, Mace, and I brought that up with Graham Coffin of the History of WWE, and it was kind of a split thing, and I don't know how Omega would feel about this, but is there more money in Cena Rock versus Cena Miz or anyone else at this point?
No, there is no...
You're talking about drawing the casual fan in. What better way than Dwayne Johnson?
Well, they did. He's your host. Look who's singing your national anthem. Justin Bieber.
Yeah, little Canadian kid.
No. The Rock is a name that spans years in wrestling fans. You're going to go back to get wrestling fans from the mid to late 90s who might not have watched wrestling since then after he left to come watch WrestleMania. I guarantee you there will be a few that do.
Oh,
and I'm
not
talking like three or four. I mean in the thousands that will. Okay? And Bieber will bring buy rates. As much as we all hate it, as much as everyone in this room hates the fact that Justin Bieber is going to be on that pay-per-view.
That kid gives me diarrhea.
He's going to bring in buy rates because he's one of the hottest musical acts right now, and he's big with all the kiddies.
People are going to drop $60 to see him just sing the anthem, Spug?
Dude,
yeah.
People have killed over Bieber tickets.
Yeah, they also killed over Hannah Montana and the Jonas Brothers. You don't see the one of them doing this show.
Exactly. Little kids' parents who want to make their kids... I'm not talking the rational ones. I'm talking the irrational ones. Will plunk down $60 for 3 minutes of their kids screaming their head off at Justin Bieber singing America the Beautiful and probably Oh Canada.
I can just let my kid watch him on CSI.
You're going to let your kid watch Bieber get shot up on CSI?
My 8-year-old cheered when it happened.
Yeah.
I'm going to have it on repeat for a month.
Your 8-year-old's different than 80% of 6 to 12-year-olds today.
And I'm damn proud of it. Normal sucks.
Look at who the 8-year-old's dad is. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night. We've had a great opening discussion here about the pay-per-view, WrestleMania, and a few other things. We're going to take a look at Elimination Chamber on the other side of our first time out. Don't go anywhere. We're going to open up the phone lines tonight, let you all call in. Who knows? Maybe we'll get Wade Barrett to call in. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. It's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. And I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement, we get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He'd stay with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
Wild Talk Radio. The network everyone else steals from.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
You think you know me?
Well, we're supposed to talk and say, welcome back, WTR Sunday night, but I'm sorry, it's kind of hard for me to talk over Metal Lingus. I like the song, dude.
We all disagree with you and we're angry about it.
Well, you know what? If you got a problem with it, go on the internet and complain.
That's what we're doing. What do you think this show is for?
Oh, shit, yeah, that's right. Oi! Welcome back, everybody, WTR Sunday Night Rock Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I see some of our regulars. Heartbreak Mike, Tony O, and Jersey Girl just made it in time. Hi, kids! Everybody else, if you want us to give you a bit of a shout-out, change your nickname. All you got to do is type slash Nick, then your space, then your nickname. We'll be more than happy to say howdy. Let all your friends, let everybody know that we're on the air. Get them to join us, because you never know who might be calling in tonight. Hint, hint. Speaking of which, we will open the phone lines for you as soon as we finish taking a look at Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. So
what's
why don't
the
we
have Mike Maverick busy tonight? Can't record a podcast with him?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Moving on. Let's take a really quick look at the card and the winners and the losers. Opening up the match tonight, Alberto Del Rio takes on Kofi Kingston. The only question I have is, why? Of course, the Mexican dude wins. We'll come back to that really quickly in just a quick second. Second match of the night. I still say it's on the wrong part of the card. We'll also talk about that, too. The SmackDown Elimination Chamber match. Kane versus Drew McIntyre versus Wade Barrett versus Big Show, who substitutes for Dolph Ziggler, who got fired on Friday by the returning Teddy Long versus Rey Mysterio. Hey, SmackDown Elimination Chamber was good. Ultimately, Edge retains his title. Then we had a brief little interview with Jerry Lawler, and if it wasn't enough that it was the King, Jerry Lawler, to get you to cheer for him and hope that he wins the title off the Miz, this was just an added little tug at the heartstrings, considering his mother, unfortunately, passed away last week. Great showing by Jerry the King. But look at this in the ring. It's Trish Stratus, and Omega missed it.
Shut up.
Well, you did. Ha ha.
Shut up.
Yeah. Omega mysteriously not in the pre-show chat. Makes you wonder. So, there you go. He's probably just, yeah, probably was. So, yeah, Trish Stratus.
You have no evidence. You have no evidence.
Yeah, well, hey, I'll take
it.
Omega, I could hear you going, oh, yes, from here.
You have no evidence. I already
I will take Spud's word for it because he's, let's face it, I may be the perverted old man, but he's the resident thick fuck. And I say that as a compliment, Spud, by the way.
As backhanded as it could be.
Yeah, as left-handed as possible. You know, consider it Canadian. You like shooting on me anyway. Anyway, so we find out Trish Stratus is now back and she's going to be on WWE Tough Enough. Next match, tag team match, out first the champ, Santino Morello and Victor Kozlov taking on Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel from the core. Slater and Gabriel win, they're the new tag team champions, and I apologize profusely, I could not get into this match after the SmackDown Elimination Chamber, was not interested. But hey, check it out, Kelly Kelly, rehired by Teddy Long, she comes out and goes after Vicky. Out come White Cool, and here comes Trish to make the save. Did anybody catch the botch?
Yeah, I caught the botch, but I don't think it was necessarily a botch. Is it so much as she was in six-inch heels?
Yeah, that was the first thing I noticed. Was, what the fuck is she doing delivering kicks and shit like that with those fucking spikes? I mean, those were a hooker boots, for Christ's sake. But, hey, you know, Trish kicked some nice-looking ass. You got to admit it, Mace.
But she kicks a nice-looking ass, or she's got a nice-looking ass. Because either way, I could agree with both, actually.
All the above. Let's just say that the male and the lesbian eyes won that contest.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
There again, Omega was probably fapping.
I don't think...
No proof.
Allegedly. Go ahead, Spud.
I do not think that she is just coming back to train Tough Enough.
No, you think that there's going to be more to it?
Oh, yeah. I think that there's going to be more. I definitely think that there's going to be more to that. I really do.
Okay, well.
Somebody's got to teach Miss USA how to wrestle.
There you go. Well, we'll get more into that after pay-per-view talk. Finally, it's Jerry the King Lawler taking on the WWE champion, The Miz. It's the match I wanted to see. Unfortunately, Lawler lost, but the match was good, and more important, it was believable, Alan.
Oh, yeah, you totally could buy going into this that Jerry Lawler was in. I was more surprised that Michael Cole did not interfere. I think the spot of the night, and I'm sure you'll allude to it in a little while, anything outside of the two chambers, Lawler and Cole had the spot of the night in that match.
Oh, thanks for not giving it up. But, yeah, the spot of the night definitely goes to Jerry Lawler, The Miz, and Michael Cole. How many people marked out when The Miz wound up as Michael Cole's lapdog?
That was awesome.
That was
isn't it usually the other way? Isn't it Michael Cole usually is in the Miz's lap?
Yeah,
that's what makes it a little bit different and somewhat newsworthy. I mean, if you look at what's the definition of a news item, you know, dog bites man, not news. Man bites thug, there's your news, because it's different. It's not. It's the same, but reversed. So, yeah.
Now we've got pit bulls these days, so new.
There you go. And then, of course, another backstage segment with a bowl of delicious, tasty, fruity pebbles. What the fuck is Cena doing calling himself Yabba Dabba Delicious?
He's trending on Twitter. That's what it's doing.
He caused fruity pebbles to fucking trend on Twitter. Believe it or not, this is the God's honest truth. What the hell?
It's the first time in years that Fruity Pebbles has actually been relevant. Let them have their moment, Tim.
Okay, yeah. Okay. But trending on Twitter? Wait.
Again.
So, yeah.
How many fucking stoners are going to go out tonight who watch that pay-per-view and like to smoke pot and are going to buy a box of fucking Fruity Pebbles because it's trending on Twitter? I guarantee you.
Just because they watch the Super Sour Slurpee at 7-Eleven and see him say, oh, dude, let's get the pebbles. John was eating a man.
Man, it was hilarious to read some of the comments on Twitter about this. Wrestling fans are laughing their ass off because John Cena has got Fruity Pebbles trending on Twitter. Non-wrestling fans think it's the most random and awesome thing to have ever been done since sliced bread was invented.
Okay, I just have to tell you, it is the weirdest fucking way to get some money via product placement from a cereal that is nothing but sugar and, as you said, not relevant in today's day and age.
And as Rock's saying in the chat, and just to paraphrase it a bit, I swear to God, Fruity Pebbles should pick up on this and get John Cena to do commercials for them. If they don't do this, they're fucking idiots.
Well, it would work. He's got the physique of a caveman.
He already did the commercial on Elimination Chamber.
I think Post just needs to buy that footage. There you go.
Yep. And then replay it. And it's like, show it every time you show Raw, SmackDown, Superstars, whatever. You know, AM Raw. Especially AM Raw. Because you're going to catch the kids getting out of bed and the potheads coming home from partying.
The problem is when, you know, this goes for like 6 months and Cena comes out with like, you know, like 70 extra pounds of gut from eating nothing but Fruity Pebbles.
Well, what's up next? Cocoa Puffs?
Fuck.
What about blueberries?
Gold dust.
That would be
gold
good.
Dust for Golden Grahams.
Yeah, there you go. Gold dust for Golden Grahams. All right. Hey, you know what? Next week on Wild Talk Radio, we're going to split up the entire roster of the WWE and assign them a breakfast cereal.
Are there enough breakfast cereals for that?
I can just see Edge coming out singing good whole wheat shreddies.
No.
Seamus, for Lucky Charms.
If you're going to get a cereal...
Sorry, that was a grenade. You lobbed it out 8 seconds later, it got me.
if you're going to get a cereal as boring as Golden Wheat Shreddies, then you need to get a boring wrestler like Lance to do the promos for it. Just saying.
It's hilarious. Anyway, back to Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Up now, the main event, the Raw Elimination Chamber. We got Randy Orton versus CM Punk versus John Cena versus Spider-Man. That would be John Morrison, for those of you who don't follow along. Versus Sheamus versus R-Truth, and I've got to give it to R-Truth. Awesome. Absolutely fantastic. He did not get on the mic and say, "What's up, Anaheim?"
Would have been worse if he'd say, "What's up, San Francisco," since they were in Oakland.
He's never going to live that down.
That's hilarious.
It's already on Butchamania.
Yeah. So, there you go. And, of course, we got all of the guys out. What the hell happened with Punk's chamber? He gets stuck. Was that planned, you guys, do you think? Or did it literally malfunction? Did they get one malfunction every Elimination Chamber match? Or pay-per-view? They get one malfunction.
At least somebody got set on fire this year, dude.
I think it was a legitimate malfunction, and as much as we hate the whole anonymous Raw general manager thing, it has allowed them to fix certain screw-ups or botches or misfinishes. I mean, you know, you could probably say that the malfunction wasn't planned, but I guarantee you that CM Punk going out within the first 30 seconds of him being in the ring probably was.
Uh-huh.
And it allowed WWE with the Raw general, the anonymous email shit, to put him back in and to kind of fix their screw up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was really a screw up, because obviously when you got down to just Cena, Morrison, and Punk, there were a ton of spots that were already being set up that all of them were already new.
Yeah.
It was obvious that they knew exactly what they were doing, going point to point to point on that final volley. But it was obviously a setup. It was booked that way. I mean, as soon as the buzzer goes off, CM Punk's right ahead in the match. He forces that door wide open. That pulls the chain completely taut, and all of a sudden, the ref couldn't get the lock off if he tried, which he wasn't.
Yeah. So general consensus is that was a planned malfunction, not an actual fuck up. I just want to go back to the breakfast cereal discussion and address Heartbreak Mike in the chat room. Mike,
that's racist.
And back to the Raw Chamber elimination match. So out comes Cena. Out comes Ron Truth. Ron Truth, the first one eliminated by Mr. Lucky Charms himself, Sheamus. Finally, Punk comes out again and eliminates Randy Orton. Is anybody surprised by this?
No.
Okay. And Morrison.
You've seen Orton in this so long. Did anyone think we were going to see it again?
Yeah, there he goes. I have to say, yeah, thanks. But it was the fact that it was Orton who was eliminated by Punk, really. So, but anyway, the next elimination, Morrison eliminates Sheamus. Punk eliminates Morrison. Cena eliminates Punk. Somewhere in there, before Sheamus gets eliminated, just as he gets eliminated, we get the high spot for this match. And as predicted, John Morrison goes Spider-Man yet one more time. Finally, somebody climbs, whatever you want to call it, to the freaking dome of the Elimination Chamber and drops down on somebody else. I've been waiting for this, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, have been waiting for this since the Elimination Chamber was introduced.
How long ago did the chamber get a curved roof?
Since it was made.
Had one from the start.
Yeah. Because
I thought in the original chamber the roof was flat.
No, I can remember RVD going for a high 5-star and having to duck down because of the curve in the dome.
Okay.
Yeah, it's always had the curve, and I've always been somebody who's thought somebody small enough could climb to the middle of that and get off like a really weird looking moonsault.
Yep.
But Morrison with a cross body close enough, it's about time somebody had the balls to do it.
Yep. He was going for that kick of his, but I tell you what,
The kick was later off the side of the chamber.
No. When he's coming down, you could tell that he was going for the kick. Watch it from the angle that they showed at the pay-per-view. He was going for that kick, but it ended up being a cross body, which was beautiful. It was nice. I will give him that.
Yeah, it was still very well done if it wasn't.
Absolutely. But I was kind of hoping to see him kind of monkey bar up to the top of that thing and shooting star off. Just let go and flip backwards.
Okay,
yeah,
that would have been
something I would have liked to have seen as well.
Yeah, that would have been something, but that would have been 100 times more dangerous.
He's got the athleticism and the strength to do it.
But at the same time, he was trying to sell a knee injury.
The knee injury came later, though. The knee injury came off of that move off the top.
No, it didn't. Remember, the knee injury came off of him trying to knee Cena's head through the flex band.
And flew right into the flex band instead of nailing Cena, and then selling the knee injury. Which, by the way, everybody, just in case you're wondering, it was worked. It wasn't a legit injury.
I'm wondering if he really did fuck himself up, though, on that drop. Because he landed on his legs.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if he did tweak something coming down.
Eminently possible. I mean, it's the Elimination Chamber. Somebody's tweaking some shit. So.
Same time, it's Morrison. He's the next thing to Gumby. So I expect him to spring right back from something like that.
Listen, Tim, don't say tweak too loud or Jeff Hardy might show up wondering where the drugs are.
Oh, shit. You got a point. Okay. Jeff Hardy, you're not allowed to listen tonight. Thank you.
As opposed to every other night.
As opposed to whenever he does tune in, yeah. So here are our last two competitors. We've got Cena and Punk. Punk, of course, saying, you know, I'm batting 1,000. I'm, what, 3-0. Cena can't beat me, yada, yada, yada. And, of course, you know, the Nexus isn't around to help him win. So, naturally, Cena wins and breaks the streak. John Cena goes to WrestleMania to take on The Miz for the WWE title. And here we go. Let's go back really quick to what we started the discussion with Spud, Mace, Allen, Omega. John Cena sells tickets because he's a name. We've got somebody in the chat room. I don't know who it is. Anonymous Ustreamer 95572 several moments ago posted tonight was the best time to put Morrison over. That's my argument. However, the next pay-per-view is WrestleMania. I can see both sides of it, but I have to lean towards what we were talking about. Get a name in there to go up against The Miz. Push Morrison at the next pay-per-view.
You could have, if you wanted to push Morrison to be in the main event at Mania, you could have put him over pre-Rumble, okay?
Yeah.
Have him go into or come out of the Rumble as the champion, or even as the winner of the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
See what the buys for and the ratings for your particular TV shows are leading up into the Elimination Chamber. And if they're strong enough, you have him come out of the chamber if he's wrestling.
Okay, well, let me bring you in on this one, Mace. My question for you. It was a 45-minute long opening match on Raw, like, what, a month ago now. Morrison takes on The Miz, and Morrison, that was actually, was that not the night after Royal Rumble?
Yes.
And Morrison absolutely looked phenomenal against The Miz. I think that Morrison and Miz really pulled off one hell of a match. What do you think, Mace? Was that not something that could be used as basically a jumping off point to actually finally get Morrison into the main event?
Oh,
you think it would?
I was going to say it was the first of the year. It was the first Raw of the year. We're being correct.
Okay. Okay. So, Mace?
I don't know. Am I allowed to get an opinion out? Motherfucker's been railroading me all fucking night.
I'm trying to get you in here. Go.
The match that two of them had should have been a springboard point. I don't know why the office has such a grudge against Morrison, but they do. That's one reason why you won't see him there. The other, you know, they don't want to take the risk, which I think is pretty stupid, as Morrison has proven background, especially in championship situations. He's had the ACW title. I believe he's also had the SmackDown, the heavyweight title, for a while as well. I don't know why they don't want to push him. But, you know, hey, the guy is putting on, you know, big match of the night, match of the year style candidate matches.
Yep.
And the fans are the ones who are liking it. So as long as the fans are happy, he gives a flying fuck what the office thinks.
Okay, there you go. Just keep the fans happy and the money will keep rolling in, basically. You're talking about match of the year candidates. Would you say that match he had against The Miz is currently the front runner for match of the year?
Probably one of the front runners, and definitely, I That match was before the Rumble. Wasn't that the first Raw of 2011 they had the match?
Yeah, I think that investigation.
Because I can remember watching it, and I think it was like the first. It could have been the first match of 2011 because I remember stating that that was setting the bar very high for everybody else to follow.
Yeah, well, you know, after watching all of these Raws and SmackDowns and then the pay-per-views, it does get a little confusing sometimes. I mean, we're not infallible.
Well, you're not. I'm infallible.
Careful. So, yeah.
Think, then speak.
There you go. Good boy. So, Mace, let me ask you. Do you think that with the showing that Morrison has given since the beginning of the year, because that's when things really started tearing up, was with that match, and then he's just been skyrocketing since. Do you think that they might start highlighting him at Mania and then build him up on the first pay-per-view post-Mania? Maybe let him win Money in the Bank this year?
Yeah, I was just about to say, if they're putting on Money in the Bank this year, it's going to be a high possibility he'll be the guy that takes it, or at least, once again, the guy who doesn't win but yet steals the show.
Yeah.
Which should be enough to have them go, okay, let's start pushing this guy.
Yeah. Okay, can't disagree. What do you think, Omega?
Apparently someone in the back still thinks that he is not ready or that, you know, he does not have the experience for this. And I'm sick of the duality in the booking committee right now. Where, okay, well, he's not ready. He's not proven. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't have the build up. He doesn't have the popularity. But let's give this guy who's been around 6 months a world title match at the biggest show of the paper of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't understand how someone like I know they're going after the Mexican demographic. I know they're trying to essentially replace Mysterio and keep their market share down south that they love so much. But you know. When someone is good, when someone is popular, they sell no matter what the demographic is.
Yeah.
And right now, Morrison's the best you've got, and they do absolutely nothing with him, claiming, well, he's not ready. But you'll go ahead and put it on someone who has absolutely no business being anywhere close to a world title match, especially at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It just drives me nuts at this point.
Did you guys click on that link that Rod just posted in the Skype chat?
Yeah, it just did. Trust Rock's always on his game.
The guy's just too goddamn fast. Rock, you've got to throw that up on the player. Oh, we've got the perfect commercial tie-in starring Sheamus. Once Rock shows that, you'll see. What do you think, Alan, about everything we've been talking about?
We talked about this Tuesday night, and we've been talking about it since Del Rio got the slot at the Royal Rumble. I don't understand how you're putting this guy. Obviously, now that Miz and Cena is the match, that's the show closer for WrestleMania. Marky Mark raises the belt again. And
yeah.
I think someone mentioned it to me through my email that this is at least the sixth WrestleMania or seventh WrestleMania that Cena's been involved in a championship match, be it either U.S. title, world title. So
yeah.
you already know that Marky Mark is going to reign supreme once again, cape flowing in the breeze, and that's boring.
Do you realize, everybody, that had anybody other than Cena won, this would have been the first time in something like 6 years that Orton or Cena was not involved in one of the co-main events at WrestleMania?
Exactly, and heaven forbid we do something different.
I mean, I'll tell you this right now, guys. I hope desperately, I don't care if you got to cheat to win, because as the late great Eddie Guerrero said, you're not cheating, you're not trying. I just want Miz to retain against Cena, only because I want to hear the host of WrestleMania come out and make fun of John Cena playing peekaboo again, Mace.
Well, yeah, that would be interesting, but we know that if you're a heel, you're not really going to walk away from WrestleMania with the championship.
Yeah. Not usually.
Most times your closing shot of your pay-per-view is the face standing proud with the title over his head while the confetti goes down and all that stuff. You know, you're not going to see a heel walk away with WrestleMania with the belt.
Yeah,
and look, if it's on the undercard, if it's the secondary main event, then yeah, you've got a chance of holding onto a belt, but no, not if you're the final match of the night, no.
Well, unless, like Rock says, unless Taker main events.
I can see, Stacey, you could have done away with this. I mean, you know, it could have been, you know, Cena versus Yoshitatsu, and they still would have put it in the main event at WrestleMania because it's John Cena. We've already seen him do it four, two world matches on the same card, and no, Cena versus Barrett gets to be the final match of the night.
I can see The Miz walking out of WrestleMania with the title. I can see it. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying I can see it. Because it is obvious that there, with Wade Barrett, The Miz, you have John Morrison, you have Sheamus, you have this crop of younger guys who they are building up, and they're, you know, WWE is constantly having that turnover about every 5 years where the old guard kind of steps down and then a new guard comes up, and we're right getting to the apex of that. And what better way to make your new crop of talent take over than you have your headline guy in The Miz walk out of Mania with the belt. And demented, I tell you what, you're probably a retarded TNA mark or CJ Bowman, either which, your intelligence is too low to grasp this. The Miz wasn't pushed too fast. The dude has earned everything he has gotten and is an excellent heel. He is one of the best.
If you want to
debate and give us your reasoning, Skype Sir Rockin' or call 267-297-1397.
There you go. Now, I just want to put it forth, just in case it's not CJ Bowman, the opinions of one Spud guy do not necessarily reflect the thoughts and opinions of everybody else right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What's that, Omega?
How accustomed are we to saying that at this point?
Can we have a week where we don't have to say that?
No, but we do enjoy it.
Can we just record it so Rock can play it? Put it in the intro. I don't care.
Okay, guys, I gotta just break in and I gotta say hello to the young fledgling. He's Ustreamer 14083. He's a good friend of mine from Stampede Wrestling days. And if I remember correctly, Bucker goes to university in Lethbridge, Alberta, which is like 2.5 hours south of Calgary. Fledge, thanks for showing up, buddy. Nice to see you in the chat room. Back to what we were talking about. Hey, look at that. See, identify yourself, you get a shout out.
So I just want to bring something up real quick, and this is going to show my age, of course. Anybody remember WrestleMania 10?
Yes.
It was the It was the first WrestleMania without a certain bald guy. Everybody panicked like crazy. Holy crap, this is the first WrestleMania. We're not going to have Hulk Hogan anywhere in town. And if you go back, WrestleMania 10 was pretty damn good. So this almost feels like, this possibly, unless something changes between now and then, there's got to be a point at some time where WWE creative goes, we're not, Taker's getting older.
Yeah.
Helmsley's got a real nice office in Titan Tower.
Yeah.
Hollywood getting closer and closer for Marky Mark. We gotta start building and come on, let's start building and do it. Why not do it at Mania? Look at Mania 10. Shawn Michaels, before he went into WrestleMania 10, was a mid-card wrestler. And I know there's a lot of people that are about to go, oh, no, he wasn't. Yes, he was. Until that ladder match with Scott Hall, with the Hormone, he got made that night. And then went to 11 and got made again by making Kevin Nash look like an unstoppable killer. And at some point, you've got to make some stars here.
Okay.
And putting people over. I'm not saying that Morrison had to beat Miz. You could even do a triple threat match of Morrison, Miz, and Cena.
No.
Okay.
I will agree with you that stars came out of WrestleMania 10. But Morrison is already a main event capable talent. The thing here is draw power, okay?
Okay. I'm
not disagreeing that Miz Morrison at WrestleMania would probably be match of the year and match of the night. I'm not disagreeing with that one second. But I want to see Morrison main event and sell at smaller ancillary pay-per-views.
To make him a bigger star in the long run.
Yes.
Okay.
And I will say this to Demented. Sweetie, if you're going to call me a fag, it's okay. But I'm gonna say this again, dude. Miz's push started more than a year. It took more than a year. He was multiple-time tag team champion. The dude competed on fucking Tough Enough and earned every spot he's gotten. Every one of them. The dude has been grinding since day one to get to where he is. Okay? His push started long before this. And no. Let me go back up here. 12:07 a.m. X Demented X. 1 year in the big time isn't quick. Don't bullshit me, man. And oh, hey, fag. The Miz push was pushed in one fucking year.
No, it wasn't.
Don't be fucking retarded. No. It took longer than a year.
Almost 2.5 years. Now, let me ask you.
I remember
you
meeting him in 08 as a tag champ when they came to work for FCW. Morrison and Miz were the tag champs. They came in to fight the FCW tag champs, and even then I was. I'll admit, the dude was really humble, Tim. He was a real humble guy.
Well, of course he's going to be humble. I mean, these guys, this is the thing that the dumb marks don't get, and 99% of the people listening to us aren't dumb. But
he's living his dream. He was on real world New York.
Again, these guys play a character, and there are people that have to... realize that. Now, we're not, Demented, I did not call you a dumb mark, okay? I'm talking about, like, the general person who, meets the Miz and thinks he's a real asshole in real life, okay? There are tons of fucking people out there, trust me, we know. A lot of us have actually met them being on that side of the, figuratively speaking, but on that side of the ropes. We've met these guys who,
real to me, damn it!
That kind.
He can be a dick.
Everybody can be a dick. When you're faced with morons, being a little bit of a, being a little dicky.
Yeah, but every time I've ever heard a story about The Miz and how he actually behaves, it's always how he's very humble. He's very much a perfectionist, even, as good as we think his promos are, and he's fucking awesome on the mic. He doesn't think he goes out and puts, he's still unhappy with his promo work. Which is something, I think any good artist or any good performer is never happy with their own stuff, and it's a sign that they are only going to get better.
Okay, Demented just posted something in the chat room. I think we're all on the same page on here, okay? Right now, The Miz, at this point in time, is your number one go-to heel. Is he right? Do we all agree on that?
Yeah.
I will agree with that.
Okay. See? Intelligence is what is the main exhibit of people who listen to WZR Sunday night. That's just my point.
I will throw this in there, though. At some point, they need to get rid of Alex Riley.
Yes.
Because it is starting the homo under the desk love affair from Michael Cole
is over the top enough.
It is over the top enough, and it needs to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And Riley is only starting to hold him down. Miz is reaching a point, much like The Rock did, where he doesn't need anyone with him. You've gotten to a point with The Miz where you could literally hand him bulletin points.
Yep.
And say, hit this, this, and this, and have fun. And he would do excellent. And I think working with Lawler has helped him a lot. Helped him out a lot as a heel, because let's face it, Lawler spent 9/10 of his career as a heel.
Well, who's think back to when Lawler actually played a heel.
Oh, The Miz and Lawler, they're identical.
They are, you know, they're the same thing. That's the point I'm getting to. Now, Alan, I know you got a quick point, but I wanted to bring something up really quickly. Just let's go real quick answers, and then we'll throw it to you, Alan. The pay-per-view that we saw tonight, do you see that? Because I see this now, especially like an hour and a half after the pay-per-view ended. Do you see tonight's Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, the stepping stone for WrestleMania this year, actually being the genesis, no reference to TNA, the genesis of the passing of a few torches in WWE?
Sure. That's how you should feel every year.
Mace?
Sure, why not?
Omega?
I agree. Circle against the square.
Omega?
I don't know if I see this as the start of passing the torches, but I definitely see the beginnings of the new crop coming up.
Okay. And Spug.
Yes.
Real quick. Yep. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I know where you're going with this. The Lawler Miz match was the passing of the torch from Lawler to Miz as the heel.
Uh-huh.
That's the passing of the torch you're referring to. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Now, Alan, your point real quick.
Yeah, I'm confused. I had this conversation a few weeks ago with some friends at a live event, and we had it on our World of Wrestling Radio a while back. We talked about it with Rick Martel about how Flick was his manager originally, and he didn't want the manager. Rodriguez and Riley seem that's what their deal is. They're more managers than anything else. So why not just get Cole out of his damn seat already, put him as more Mrs., buddy, and get it over with. I mean, I agree with you about Riley. He's had it enough. Just genesis him off and let him be himself. So I don't understand how people can say, oh, well, managers are passe in this day and age. There's two guys right there doing the manager shtick pretty good. Mm-hmm. And three if you count Vicky.
Are you going to count Vicky as somebody doing a good job?
Yeah, because you can't stand her. She's doing her damn job.
Here's the thing. I want somebody here who is not named Alan Wojcik to back me up on this. She's getting the wrong kind of heat. She's getting X-Pac heat.
She's getting the proper
heel heat.
Yeah, I mean, a proper heel, you want the fans to be playing along with it. You want them to be into booing this person and being against them. She gets the kind of heat where you just can't stand her. It's not the kind of heat that makes you want to have like a face come in and, get in their face or put them down. It's the kind of heat that makes you want to change the channel.
Uh-huh. That's exactly right. I mean, they could have done so many different things with Vicky that would have made her, the heel that you love to make fun of. Or they could have, and I would have preferred this, at least to begin with, because she's Eddie's widow, and coming in there, doing what she's doing, basically because WWE wants to make sure her family's taken care of for the rest of their lives. That's fine. Let her have been, you know, the good guy for at least a little bit. What do you think about that, Mace?
I don't think WWE knows how the hell to make a decent heel anymore. Take a look at, well, let's take a look at the two non-wrestling heels that they've got going at the moment in Vicky Guerrero and Michael Cole. They're not heels that people are hating for a reason. They're hating them because they're annoying and fans are not trying to, like, differentiate between character and person. They now hate the person instead of the character.
Right.
And if you take, like, you take a look at wrestling, people hate Miz the character.
Yeah.
As we've said, you know, the real Miz is nothing like the guy you see on TV.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's a type of hate where, yeah, you want him to be the asshole, and he is being the asshole that you want him to be, and you're eating up every second of being able to boo him.
The thing is we're dealing with individuals who are not trained professionals in getting heat the proper way, okay? Vicky and Michael Cole take two similar paths toward being heels. They're very over the top, they're very boisterous, and they're almost to the point where they're sucking the guy off that they're trying to get over. I would have liked to have seen them turn Vicky into an uber face. Take Chavito, you know, all right? You could have, and I'm not saying Chavito is a main event wrestler. I love him. The dude is as technical as they come, okay?
He's one of the better technical wrestlers in the business.
But,
like, if you want to just go shoot, I mean, you can name on one hand the current roster. You can name less than five people who are in that upper echelon, along with guys like, and I'm, but shut up and don't give me a hard time about this, but Bret Hart was also, you know, in the top five as far as technical wrestling goes.
All time, yes, but currently right now in the WWE, Chavito is one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
But you could have done an uber face thing with Chavito and Vicky in which you could, and Chavo would have never have had to have heel turned. He could have stayed. They could have stayed tweeners forever, and the crowd would have loved them because they were paying homage to Eddie. You could have lied, stolen, and cheated your way to victory multiple times, and the crowd would have loved it because it had to do with Eddie. And they would have been all over Vicky, all over Chavo, you know. And you didn't have. You wouldn't have had to have pushed Chavo beyond the mid card rank.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, thanks. I just want to ask, it has to do with what you brought up anyways, Bug Mace. What he's saying, would that have been just a little bit too obvious, a little bit too pandering, a little bit too sappy to do that with Chivito and Vicky?
Well, the smart marks and the IWC would have called it pandering, but to the casual fan, no. So that's the big problem here. You know, how do you make everybody happy? You don't. Pure and simple.
Yeah, true. Well, hey, guys, we've been going for almost an hour on this thing. We've wrapped up the pay-per-view. I think it's just about time we take a break and then come back and talk about a little bit about, you know, what someone's cooking, if you know what I mean. Overall, grade the pay-per-view. Mace, yes, no, meh.
As much as I'd like to say meh because we're trying to pimp the T-shirts.
Yeah.
Worth your money, most definitely. T-shirts, yes, worth your money. Pay-per-view, worth your money.
Okay.
It was actually a good, enjoyable pay-per-view tonight, and the Chambers really had us going, wow.
Yeah, the Chambers were damn good. So you figure that it did its job setting up the rest of the road to WrestleMania?
Well, yeah, but at the same time, hell, if they had done this in the middle of the year, it still would have been a good pay-per-view.
Yeah, okay. Omega.
This would probably be from me. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see some parts of the pay-per-view.
Trish Stratus!
Because he was fapping.
He was fapping over the fact he heard Trish was going to be there and missed it.
If I'd actually seen her, I'd be comatose right now. I wouldn't even be on the air.
Okay, well, I've got one word for
you. I will say she looks damn good as a brunette.
Yeah, well, that's her natural hair color. But Omega, I've got one word for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, snap you right back to reality. You ready?
What?
Lita.
Yeah.
Okay, so pay-per-view. Yes, no, meh.
Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.
Pay-per-view, yes, worth your money.
All right. Alan, I just can't wait to hear from you, so we'll hold off and ask Spug.
Yes, it was worth the money, and it set up a lot of things for Mania.
Yeah.
But in the next month, 42 days, the finishing touches will be put on it. Undertaker, of course, is coming back tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We'll get the Hall of Fame inductees, and we'll find out who Undertaker is going to beat again at WrestleMania this year. We'll also probably see the return of Triple H, because I'm not holding out doubt that it's probably going to be Triple H and Sheamus at Mania.
I'm certainly not convinced that the Undertaker promo is just for Undertaker. I think there's somebody else in there that's been buried and we haven't seen yet. Well, we can talk about that at a future point in time. Alan, I saved you for last time for a reason. Go ahead.
Meh, with a bowl of Fruity Pebbles to go, thanks.
See, I knew you'd do that, mister. Oh, I don't think it was good because all my favorite guys lost.
It did its job. It got two matches set up for Mania. Yippee. I also have 6 weeks to have done that. I didn't need to do it all night.
Alan would have been happy. Alan would be happy if it was him in an empty arena and the rest of the arena being empty for WrestleMania and watching guys from FCW and Daniel Bryan and John Morrison wrestle for the title. That's Alan's WrestleMania.
Hey, Daniel Bryan and John Morrison for the title would be awesome.
I would agree.
Part of my mania is long gone. I wanted Low-Key versus Punk versus Daniel Bryan for the U.S. title, but creative took that away from me.
Yeah, well, then you can just forget it. So, objectively speaking, would you recommend to people who might think that they want to pay for the replay to actually buy it?
To see the SmackDown Chamber, yeah.
Just for the SmackDown Chamber. Okay, well, there you go. Guys, my opinion, for what it's worth, very entertaining, very enjoyable. I like the pay-per-view. Both chamber matches were awesome. We saw Jerry Lawler working at passing the torch to The Miz, the go-to heel in WWE right now. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night, and we're going to be coming back on the other side of this quick little timeout. We'll talk about The Rock and a few other things. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Have a certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talky Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
The old school style will be.
And
case you missed it, this is what happens when you tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Mrs. Carino is on Online World of Wrestling Radio?
He sure is.
Oh, my God, this is awesome. So, Mom, you got any questions for your son? You want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I can tell you that it would take hours.
Are they going to
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. It's in a photo album somewhere. Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you can tell us about?
No. Well, it's not so much embarrassing, but there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Ricky Moore. I was just going to be at this show, so I took the picture with him. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way.
Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesday, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Gaps Out of Extreme, Rob Park. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for DB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Welcome back, WTR Sunday night. Yeah, do you smell what The Rock is cooking? And no, we're not talking about our producer, Rock and Sock. We are talking about the Brahma Bowl, the great one, the people's champion, The Rock, finally has come back to the WWE. And I can't wait to hear a certain individual's take on this one. Mace, I'm referring to you. I read what you wrote on your latest, The Mind of Mace. I want to hear what your thought about this is.
You know what? Let everybody else go.
Yeah, well.
Because I know, as usual, somebody's not going to agree with me, and then there's going to be debate and yelling, so I'm going to shut my mouth for a while.
You want to save the debate and such? Because I can't say that I... Yeah, I can promise you that it wouldn't be me disagreeing. Omega, what do you think?
I will admit, like, okay, do I think The Rock kind of turned his back on the WWE fans? Yes, I do. Do I kind of think that he kind of threw us away for Hollywood? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But I will fully admit I marked out like a 12-year-old when he came out and started that promo. Take anything you could say about the guy, the one thing you can't take away from him is that he's still entertaining as hell. And in the last 7 years, the WWE has failed to produce anyone that could do what he did that night. That guy talked for 20 straight minutes. And nobody was disinterested in it except for maybe Mace. But you know, anyone else in the WWE, we get tired of them. They talk for 3 minutes. This guy went for 20. And the crowd was still louder than anyone could get them in the last 7 years.
Uh-huh. So, big thumbs up from the Omega Man. All right, Alan.
I was one of the unfortunate that DVR'd it, and usually when I DVR, I try to avoid the internet, and I didn't, and made the mistake, and all of a sudden people go like, hit me up, you see The Rock, you see The Rock, and I was immediately like, The Rockin's on the show? Oh, cool. And it was really cool, but we talked about it Tuesday night on the show, and there's a demographic of that audience, the PG side of the audience, that unless their parents are like me who have DVDs, they're going, hey, that's the dude from the Tooth Fairy, or that's the dude from the Game Plan. They're not going to, so the 8-year-old fan is not going to associate, oh, that's The Rock, the, you know, the legendary sports entertainment star, da, da, da.
Yeah.
It was a nice surprise. His promo was really weird because he basically destroyed everyone on the roster, which, so you're going to do that fine with The Miz, but to take that little jab at Cena with the whole you can't see me thing.
What are you doing? Playing hot sink? Of course we can see you.
Yeah, it laid the seed for something that could happen, couldn't happen. But Spug had brought it up because we talked about the idea of him, you know, is this going to be something going on? And Spug had said, that's not wrestling shape he's in. That's movie shape because the dude just finished doing Fast and the Furious 5 with Vin Diesel and Paul Walker, and if you see the trailer, he's jacked like crazy in that movie, so short-term thing, cool. Long-term thing, I haven't found the tea leaves for that one yet.
Okay, what do you think, Spug?
Well, Mace is the one that said he was in movie shape, not wrestling shape, and I'll hold
I'm
mine.
Sorry.
I'll hold my opinion until Mace is done, because I want to hear what he has to say.
Interesting. Okay. Well, in case you missed it before we get to Mace, I just want to plug his latest post on Wild Talk Radio. If you haven't read it, guys, I strongly suggest you do, because he brings up some extremely, extremely good, very valid, and quite interesting points. Mace, I got to give you kudos on what you wrote about The Rock's return. And now, I would love to hear you put into words your opinion.
Well, yeah, it seems that that little article seems to be going around. Found out last week on OWW Radio that Mr. Kevin Scott, I believe he was the Under the Ring blog man.
Yep.
Wait, does it count as a shot if I'm the one doing the name dropping? Anybody? Anybody know the ruling on that one?
Technically, it's got to be somebody with whose first name begins with an A, but, you know, not the second letter.
Okay. Basically, I came straight out and I said that that wasn't The Rock, at least in my opinion. Like, I can see what the WWE is doing. You know, they want to get people watching WrestleMania. They want people jumping up and down going, you know, hey, we got to get this, we got to get this. What better way to do it than have one of the biggest personalities of the late 90s, early 2000s era come out and return to the company? But at the same time, I don't know whether this is something that I've learned through my own training or something, but I always, and I actually went back and watched some of the Rock's old promos to double-check this. There was something missing from the guy. He was hitting all his lines, he was hitting them like he had a friggin' checklist, which was great, because it was classic Rock promo stuff, but I couldn't sort of get the passion from him. One thing I've always seen about The Rock, you could always tell, especially in his eyes, that man had an unrivaled passion for this business.
Yeah.
When he came out on Monday night, that wasn't The Rock, that was Dwayne Johnson playing somebody who was pretending to be The Rock.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't, at least to me, he doesn't seem like he has the passion for the business anymore. You know, but hey, that's just my opinion, and I felt like to get out there while I still had it in my head.
Wow.
Also, the big thing that everybody's talking about, oh, we want to see Rock versus Cena, and straight away the comparison started coming out. This would be like Rock versus Hogan at WrestleMania 18. No, it wouldn't, because frankly, The Rock would bury Cena in 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And he practically did. He was so close to turning Cena full-fledged heel just by cutting a promo on his return.
Now, you know, stop and you think about it. How many people on today's roster would be able to do something like that, Mace?
Absolutely no one, because none of the guys... There is nobody who can cut a promo in this business like Dwayne Johnson can.
Yeah.
Except maybe Roddy Piper. You know, the power of this guy's words has been so good, which is why he's seen a good transition into Hollywood.
Yeah.
With the exception of 1960s movies barely breaking the 60 mil barrier. Except for the thing he's had a cameo in.
Yeah. Well, what was the weekend box office for when, what was that movie of his, Faster, in Australia?
Opening weekend, 800,000. Didn't even break a mil.
Didn't even cut a million.
But
enough.
I'll be honest, you know, I was able to get my hands on a copy of stuff. I wasn't one of the people who attributed to the $800,000 gross. But I have seen the movie, and I actually fell asleep halfway through it.
So that should tell you how exciting it was right there. Word of mouth can kill you if you suck.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
And also, one thing, I know this is probably going to be debated by everyone, but I've been able to watch Raw through two different styles. I watched Raw through an online stream, as everybody knows I do, because of the time difference between Australia and the US. The stream I was watching censored the crap out of The Rock's promo. The Australian version that I caught later in the week censored the hell as well. Considering The Rock uses the word ass, like most of us use the word the, I don't see his promos working or the same emphasis on a crowd unless you're going to do it on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, understandable there. This might give you a bit of a chuckle, Mace. Naturally, of course, you know that I don't get USA Network in Canada. We get it on the score. It's on a 15-minute tape delay. And there's this little program they have called Right After Wrestling, you know, RAW, where they actually look at what happened on that episode of the wrestling show. And there was a caveat thrown out after they talked about The Rock's promo, where the hostess of the program was actually almost apologetic about it, but informed the Canadian audience that it was not the score that bleeped the word ass. It was the USA Network who were to blame for that. I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I didn't think it would have been the WWE, as Omega's brought up in the chat room. Supposedly there is a clean feed of it, with the exception of the first time he says ass being censored.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's obvious that somebody out there, depending on where you were getting this, you were either getting a clean feed or you're getting a censored feed.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you got to wonder now, if he does come out and cut any more promos on Raw before Mania, is it going to be PG'd down to hell? Or are we actually going to get The Rock full, clean, and proper?
Interesting as all heck. Apparently, according to somebody in the chat room, the SmackDown version of the promo, the word ass was not censored. Again, I think that comes down to what you just pointed out. Depends on where you were viewing from.
But, Tim...
Yeah, I actually caught it on SmackDown as well, and the one down here in Australia was censored.
But, Tim, the SmackDown version, they kind of spliced, cut up the 20-minute promo to about 8 minutes. So,
yeah, that's true. The 20-minute promo was actually 5 minutes long. I caught it, and I actually timed it. And they did a great job slicing it down, except for those of us who saw it on Monday night, you know, you could tell where they cut it. It was still a little choppy. Well, I'm just saying.
It's getting the rust off, man. The guy's been busy going, oh, I screwed up. Okay, take two, and action, go ahead. Shoot again.
No, it's The Rock cutting a 20-minute promo live on Monday Night Raw, having it cut down to 5 minutes on Friday Night SmackDown on the replay.
Didn't Dolph Ziggler get fired tonight?
Dolph Ziggler was fired on Friday night.
He's on the card for the March 1st SmackDown.
hence quote unquote fired.
Yeah, but you gotta remember that the little caveat at the bottom of the promotional material, Spug card subject to change.
Sure, but this is like this was just updated an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, he wasn't rehired tonight. He'll probably be rehired on Friday. Well, on the taping's on Tuesday for Friday. So, you never know.
Fuck! God damn it!
Now what?
No, I'm bitching about the shit in our little backstage chat, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, okay. The fact that the King Jerry Lawler will be live on OWW Radio this Tuesday night right here exclusively.
March 1st.
On
March 1st.
March 1st, idiot.
March 1st. Sorry, next week. Exclusively on the Law Talk Radio Network and OWW, OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. That's what you're upset about, because you're going to go to the SmackDown taping. Is that
I'm taking my daughter to her first wrestling show.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
great
funding
moment.
Yeah.
That's kind of important.
It's going to be fun, but God damn it, I want to be there for the Lawler interview, too.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to mention the
pre-taping questions.
There you go.
I wish I could. I want to be there live to hear his response.
Well, you'll have to take your mobile device and listen by going to WTR.mobi.com.
If I have my phone, I'm going to fucking call in.
Don't use his pain to shill a feature on the site.
And if you're going to do it, it's WTR.wirenode.mobi.
That's it. That's it. Well, it's not on the website anymore, Rock. So it's kind of hard to
see. It is too. There's a link right there.
God damn it. Okay, fine. You caught me out. I'm not paying attention.
Well, the Undertaker is scheduled to be at this one too, and my wife said if the Undertaker was there, she would want to go. So
ooh.
I may be able to sneak out if my wife tags along.
Oh, well, there.
She can sit with the kid, and I can go talk to the king.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be different. Yeah, Terry, we're just at the SmackDown tapings. I'm in the concourse right now while my wife and daughter are watching Undertaker getting his ass handed to him again.
Well, the main event's a 3-on-5. It went from Big Show being the special guest referee to now it's a 3-on-5 handicap tag team match.
Yeah. Oh, I have to point out to Wrestling Fanatic in the chat room. Yeah, Wrestling Fanatic, I know it's what we call a work. You gotta sort of half play along sometimes.
you know what would be extreme? You know what would be extremely funny, and I know this is sort of making light of your pain, Spug. If you call in to talk to Jerry Lawler and you're like walking down like one of the concourses or something, you turn around the corner and you see Jerry talking on his mobile.
On his cell phone, that'd be freaking awesome.
Hilarious. That would be funny. And if this show were later in March and closer into April, it might happen because Jerry Lawler religiously comes to Cleveland
for training camp.
For opening day.
Oh yeah, that's it, opening day.
He religiously comes to Cleveland for Indians opening day. So it would be possible if that were closer into April. But unfortunately, it's a week away. But nonetheless, I'm going to do my best to call in for that interview. If he's at 10, that show might end at 10 or a little after. I might be able to call in on the way to the car or in my car. So.
Well, usually most WWE shows go for a good solid 2 hours, even with taping. You'd probably be out of there by 10:30, maybe 11 by the latest.
Well, the bell time is 6:30. Bell time is 6:30.
Oh, 6:30? So, hell, you'll be out of there by 9:30. Actually, what time is NXT going?
Well,
anybody?
It's different. It's weird, because the last... We went to a Raw event a few years ago when they were taping ECW on Raw beforehand. And they taped ECW... when they were here in Cleveland after Raw.
they did ECW after Raw. And one of the other shows we went to, they had taped the ancillary show that they were doing after the main card. So I'm wondering if they're going to do NXT after the main card. And if they do that, I can get the fuck out of there.
Well, only one way to find out.
Trying to finagle spending time with my daughter and interviewing Jerry the King Lawler, who
I'm
like,
stunned as anybody when I offered him the idea that do you want to do a pre-taped thing or you want to do it live, and he says I prefer it live. I almost dropped the phone. I was going, he wants to do it live.
That's when you say okay.
What time works best for you? 9, 10? Says 9 o'clock central. I said, yeah. I said, great. Call me at 10. I was like, all right. Goodbye.
Yeah, it's just so long as you got the time zones correct.
I'll call them again to make sure.
The promotion that I'm wrestling for, starting to get back in with, they do each of their shows as a charity benefit, and the thought that has been going around between the promoters and that might actually happen is, since Jerry Lawler's mom has just passed away from Alzheimer's, that some point down the road we are going to do a memorial show for her and book Jerry Lawler, and all of the proceeds will go to Alzheimer's research.
Well, that's a good thing.
That's a good cause.
I'm all for it. I mean, I could interview Jerry Lawler, and then I could sit in the back and pick his brain.
Well, as long as that's all you pick of Jerry.
Dude, who better? Seriously, who better to sit there and talk to you and learn shit from than guys like Piper and Honky Tonk Man? And Jim the Anvil Neidhart, by the way, is a fucking dick. He is.
Why, did he ask you for a $100 bar tab?
No, it was him, Valentine, and Honky Tonk Man that got booked on this show in Norton that I wrestled on.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the back talking to Hammer about his dad. I was talking to Honky Tonk Man. And then I went up to talk to Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and he was such a fucking asshole.
All right.
Hey, Tim, where'd you put the topic?
It's right in front of me. And there was a question that I was going to ask you about the Rock versus Sting Taker in the round table, and I completely forget what it is.
Well, how about this? We got 10 minutes left. Let's do quick hits and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, we can do that. Just touch on Chris Jericho real quickly. Apparently that he's got something upcoming and is going to be, and I quote, shocking. A real shocker. Anybody want to take a guess as to what they're talking about?
The rumor's already out if, you know, you want to actually know.
All right, well, spill.
He's going to be on Dances with the Stars.
There you go.
Excuse me.
I was thinking a good Fozzy album.
A good Fozzy album. Oh,
that'd be really surprising.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to TNA.
Yeah, I like Ustreamer 77967. It's his new gimmick. He's going to return as the Shockmaster.
Ooh.
That was a good one. Okay. Yeah, you got a prop the Ustreamer listener for that one. That was good.
Shock.
Anyway, that being said, yeah, Rock. Roll footage, roll tape. Let's get into quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, here we go. Quick hits, the final segment of the show, boys and girls. And first question of the night goes to the Thunder from Down Under, the one, the only, Mace. Your first question tonight. What's your favorite top rope move?
Favorite top rope move, pure and simple. It is the elbow drop, and it's only the one version that is done by the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah.
Take something so simple and make it look like a grand flying maneuver with a really good impact. Only one man could ever do that properly. Second would be Jerry Lawler's fist drop.
There you go. And you got that tonight. As a matter of fact, I think you were cheerleading the fist drop, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Damn right.
Yep. Damn straight. I think you and I both were. I just didn't say anything. All right. Omega, your question tonight, number one. If you were Vince McMahon, what are the first things you would do to make monthly pay-per-views more exciting?
Tim, read the question again.
If you were Vince McMahon, what are the first three things you would do to make monthly pay-per-views more exciting?
Number one, I'd go back to actually having a storyline rather than just two guys who don't like each other that month.
Okay.
Number two, I'd keep it to maybe one gimmick instead of relying an entire pay-per-view around it, so when you do bring them out, they're a little bit more special. And
drum roll, please. There you go.
Number three, I can't figure out if there's not enough or too many answers for this. If I really wanted to up pay-per-view buys, dump Michael Cole. Because no one's going to pay to listen to him for 3 hours.
There you go, dump Michael Cole, number three. Okie dokie, Alan, what's your favorite WWE DVD release?
The Ultimate Ric Flair Anthology.
Okay. I think that's Spug's next. Spug, what is the most underrated WrestleMania moment?
Most underrated WrestleMania moment?
Yeah. Something that should get more recognition than it ever did.
Quite possibly the WrestleMania 7 tag team match between Demolition and the Japanese tag team, because I believe it was one of the first times in WWF that we had seen a powerbomb.
Okay.
And this is back in the day when your standard stock wrestling moves consisted of arm drags, leg locks, you know, headbutts in the turnbuckle, you know, those sorts of things. They weren't doing those sorts of maneuvers as the Japanese were doing. So I think it brought attention to a whole different wrestling style that we see today.
Okay. There you go. Back to the top of the list. Mace, question number two. If you were to cast to be a villain in the remake of a classic Disney movie, cartoon or live action, what villain would you be, and why would you be that villain?
Oh, good lord. What villain to be, as there have been so many very creepy ones in the Disney universe. You know, just the one that sort of need a bit more out there and really need to get out of the comedic sort of sidekick villain role. I become a bit small from Aladdin. Well, Return of Jafar.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The dude needed to be somewhat creepier, a bit less of a doofus.
So you figure that you would have done better.
We just got a Ustreamer saying I would have been Jafar. I would have, but you know, I don't like the whole idea of phenomenal cosmic powers.
And apparently you were Jasmine last night.
What? Oh. Damn you, geeks, in your fucking Facebook quizzes.
And now you know what
Facebook quizzes. That was good. You were Jasmine last night?
Whoa, whoa.
That's just what his boyfriend calls him coming out of the bar.
CB, Rick.
Awesome.
God damn it. What happens on CB radio should stay on CB radio.
There you go. Hey, what happens on CB radio should become a commercial the next week.
Hey, guys. It ain't Vegas. It ain't Spain. There you go. All right. Let's see. Alan. Who is the greatest American president of all the times?
Are you kidding me? I don't know, nor do I care. Politics sucks.
Well, who's the greatest American president of all the times? Pick somebody.
None of them. They all suck. My taxes are ridiculously high.
All right. Abe Lincoln didn't raise your taxes. Why don't you vote for him? Didn't you hear? He freed the slaves.
Yeah, and then he got shot for it. But makes a great vampire hunter character in a book, apparently, that's going to be made into a film soon.
Well, there you go. Just watch. What did the wife say?
Who?
Was that the wife in the background talking?
She's yelling at someone on her cell phone.
Oh.
For calling us at 1 o'clock Eastern.
Oh, well, I'd yell at them, too. Okay, there you go. Spud, out of all major sports, what is your favorite All-Star game?
Baseball.
Baseball?
Mm-hmm. The baseball All-Star game. I hate basketball.
Okay.
I think it's a ridiculous sport.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. The premise of the sport is great, the basic ideals, but after watching millionaires piss and moan about not getting to play with their friends, and seeing what LeBron, Bosh, and Wade did, and now Carmelo, Amari Stoudemire, and Chris Paul are trying to do, I can fucking take, fuck it. I can't stand basketball.
Okay, so it's baseball.
Baseball has always been my favorite All-Star game. The pageantry of it, the history of it. When they trot the living Hall of Famers out there every year, and you see, like Yogi Berra was out there when they did the Yankees. It's just the history of baseball is something that has always been absolutely fascinating to me.
Okay, so just as a wild guess, I'm going to think that maybe you like the baseball All-Star game best.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there we go. And the final question of the night, Omega, are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Pick a United States president, make him a wrestler. Which one would you pick and why?
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Reaganated, nice, bud.
There's so many possibilities. You know what? Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
I want to see Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, when he's going to enter the squared circle, his own personal Oval Office, he's going to pin you for three and leave you and you're going to be nothing but a stain on the mat.
Okay.
You butchered that a little bit, but I saw where you were going.
Yeah.
It's Omega. I think we can figure out where he was going.
I like Jimmy the Carpenter Carter.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking, okay, you pick Clinton. The first thing that ran through my head is, fuck, Godfather's going to be fucking screwed. He's going to lose his hoe train.
Or he's going to have great business.
Or, he's going to be a rich mofo.
Yeah, there you go.
Or George the Axeman Washington. He'll chop you down to size.
There you go.
Clinton gets hired, man. That WWE diva locker room isn't safe.
Okay, everybody, there you go.
Nor is the pre-show buffet.
Okay, in case you didn't figure it out, everybody, half of the second questions on tonight's Quick Hit based around the United States President's Day, which is tomorrow in most parts of my world, but it's already President's Day, basically in Central Time and East. So happy President's Day, you damn Yankees.
Thank you.
There you go. Yeah, Alan, what's happening on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern on WWE Radio?
This Tuesday, former WWE creative member and current Ring of Honor creative member David Magana will join us to to keep our WrestleMania Memories series going. He'll also help us preview the ROH 9th anniversary internet pay-per-view event, and also talk about his new endeavor called IWantWrestling.com. And as Spug mentioned and Tim mentioned, yes, live March 1st, Jerry the King Lawler. March 8th. March 8th. We already have locked someone who may be going into the WWE Hall of Fame. Not 100% sure yet. But Road Warrior Animal will be on our show.
Yes!
Correct.
That was Hawk, but okay.
I know it was Hawk, but still, you know, he's the other half, right? The problem is Hawk's dead now, so, you know.
Unfortunately.
It's very unfortunately. Yeah, all right. So Wednesday night, deep talk of a different nature. Omega, I do believe that that's your show. And your co-host is Mace, and you're going to freeze Spug out. So what's happening on Wednesday?
Well, unfortunately, we've been trying to get to a topic for, what, the last, 3 weeks and have failed at it horribly?
Uh-huh.
We didn't fail last week. Last week was a good conversation.
Yes,
last week was a good conversation. I'm not saying the show was a failure. I'm saying the attempt to actually get to our topic was a failure.
I'm calling for more genuine Blackstreet Montel Jordan this week.
But if you missed OTL last week, they had some great old school arcade talk. Check it out on the archives at wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah, there you go. Pay attention to the website, everybody. Eventually, Anything Goes will return. Friday, still open. And Saturday night, of course, it's CB Radio.
Yes, CB Radio, where we do anything and everything we can possibly think of that tortures the soul, screws around with Tim, or it is a Facebook quiz. Check it out. WallTalkRadio.com, midnight-ish, CB Radio.
There you go.
And there is a fight this week.
We're actually doing a show this week? My
there,
God.
Dude, I don't want to do that for challengers. What the hell? Nobody cares.
That's
first. Do it for the main pay-per-views. There is a pay-per-view this weekend.
So we will be live at some point this Saturday night.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right.
I know we love to pimp stuff here, but once again, people, go to tjomega.blogspot.com where he has come up with the ultimate mad evil scheme called the blowjob bomb.
God.
Wait,
yes,
what?
Discover what the blowjob bomb is at tjomega.com.
There you go. All right. Mace, question for you. You going to be doing any podcasts this week?
Probably not.
Okay.
That's a quiet as death. What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm just hopeful because I like your podcast. Because believe it or not, you know, the shit you talk kind of makes sense.
Yeah, well, I've got a review that I've got to do for certain video DVD release groups that I've really been putting off. So that comes first, and then the podcast might return.
All right, there you go. And, of course, next Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio WTR Sunday night returns, and we'll talk some wrestling. Please join us. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. Catch you next weekend.
Fire stuff. As a